You are listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. The message is entitled, When Your Mission Gets Interrupted, and is taken from the Bible passage Mark 5, verses 21 through 34. The sermon was given on February the 28th, 2016, at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, the Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5, a message entitled, When Your Mission Gets Interrupted. When your mission gets interrupted. Take your listening sheet and get a pen or pencil ready so that you can follow along with some notes as well. I heard about a lady that was walking rather briskly with a real purpose and intention. Down the sidewalk, she was heading for a large department store in a large city. She opened the door and walked in the door, and the moment she did, lights began flashing, cameras were flashing, people were applauding. And as she walked through the door, the owner of that large department store chain met her. And there were radio journalists there and a television interviewer there. And the owner of the chain handed her a large bouquet of flowers. She obviously was dumbfounded, and the owner said to her, "Welcome to our store today. According to our calculations, since this store has been in operation, you are the 3 millionth person to walk through these doors." And again, everybody applauded, and they presented her with gifts and a shopping spree and just many other things because she happened to walk through the door at that particular time. They started interviewing her, and this person from the television station was finding out her name, where she was from, how often she shopped at the store, and then the interviewer asked her the question, "And tell our audience why you came to the store this day." She hung her head. She said, I hate to say it, but I was on my way to the complaint department." You know, sometimes your mission gets interrupted. You ever discover that about your journey, about your life's journey? Things seem to be going in the direction that you want them to go with your intention, with your purpose. And sometimes your mission gets interrupted. Now, I want to share a neat story. It's a familiar story with you today, and it's from Mark chapter 5. It's a story within a story, and we won't have time to develop both stories, and so I just want to share with the time that's permitted for us to just look at the story within the story. It's about a mission that Christ was on, actually, and it got interrupted. That might be your story today. Maybe your journey of life has been interrupted. Or maybe there's been a time when you've been on that journey and your life got interrupted, your mission got interrupted, your journey got interrupted with, I don't know, maybe a loss of a job or maybe the death of a loved one or maybe a house foreclosure or maybe some financial difficulty or maybe you find yourself and found yourself all of a sudden raising your grandchildren or maybe you've gone through a job change or a job transfer or maybe you've had or are having trouble or difficulty on your job or maybe it's some illness that you've experienced or maybe a cancerous situation. Maybe you've had to drop out of school for some reason. Maybe it was your marriage, a divorce, a separation or a marital problem. Maybe it was a pregnancy, either planned or unplanned. Maybe it was some family circumstance or family situation. Maybe it was drugs or alcohol or maybe your parents got divorced. Maybe it was when the DFS came in and they took your children or your grandchildren. Maybe you ended up being sent to a rehab center. Maybe you found yourself literally behind bars. You know, as a church, your mission's been interrupted over the last several months. You've been on a journey and now you find yourself in an interim period and a leadership change. I may or may not have touched on the particular circumstance that you're dealing with or that you have dealt with in the past, but we're talking this morning about when your mission gets interrupted. Is God there? Can God show up? Can God manifest Himself in the midst of that interruption? Well, we'll see that here very clearly. Let me share this with you. We're in Mark chapter 5, and let's begin with verse 21. And I would encourage you sometime today to read all the way through the end of the chapter to verse 43. Although for our story within the story, we're going to end with about verse 34 today. But sometime today, let me encourage you, read the entire story. And if time would permit, it would be enjoyable to enlarge this whole thing. But we'll just look at the story within the story. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." And Jesus went with him. And many people followed him and thronged him. Now here's the beginning of this story within a story. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. Because she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned himself around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Well, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around in order to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Okay, so let me share these things with you. Get your listening sheet ready. I want to show you six things about when your mission gets interrupted. Number one, he had direction. He had direction. Now, look in verse 22. The story begins to unfold when Jesus came and Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, he had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was desperately ill. Now, get this picture, because this is the beginning of this story, and it's later on that the mission that he is on, because he immediately has a sense of direction, and I'll show that to you here, but it's later on then that this mission that he's on gets interrupted. And so Jairus, this wealthy individual and this community leader and ruler of the synagogue, comes to Jesus when he hears that Jesus is in the area. And Jairus is desperate because he's got a 12-year-old little girl. How many of you are moms and dads? Let me see. You're gonna understand. You're gonna identify with it. He's got a 12-year-old little girl, and not only is she sick, she is desperately ill. And as a matter of fact, when he left home that morning, he knew that his little girl was lying at the point of death. Now get that. And so he comes to Jesus, and it says that he fell at his feet. So you're beginning to see already the desperation. And it says in verse 23, it says, and besought him greatly. Now that phrase in the Greek language is very picturesque, because it says that he besought him greatly, and it means abundantly plus far surpassing plus altogether. Here's a daddy that was desperate, and with every ounce of his being. That's what it says there. It's the picture that he couldn't wring anything else out of his emotions but to say to this healer, "You gotta come with me. Please. I'm begging you. You gotta come with me." when I left home, she was that close. Now, the great thing about it, look at that. He says, and I know that if you'll come and touch her, she'll be healed. Wow. Whew. You talk about an expression of faith. I mean, it's just what you see here in these two or three verses. He says, my little daughter, verse 23, my little daughter is lying at the point of death, and I pray you come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. What a phenomenal statement of faith right there. But I want you to see the desperation. I want you to see that. Now, look at verse 24. I love this phrase, for the beginning of verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Say that with me. And Jesus went with him. Wow. Don't you like that? Let me just tell you something. If you're on any kind of journey today, good to have Jesus with you. I love that phrase. And Jesus went with him. Wow. I want that tomorrow, and I want that today. When I leave the house, I like that. You like that picture? You like that perspective? And Jesus went with him. Wow. Well, let me encourage you. No matter where you're going today, no matter where you're going tomorrow, no matter where you're going on your journey, it's good. It's really good to have Jesus walking with you. So he was on a mission, but now it says there in verse 24, and many people followed him and thronged him. And that word throng is a word that means closed in on all sides. You got to get the picture here because in order to understand this story within story, you got to see Jesus walking down this dusty road, and he's going with Jairus. He's got direction. Jairus said, "You got to come. You got to be with me." And so, lots of people go with him because Jesus is in town. And matter of fact, not only is there a crowd, they're thronging him. They're pressing in upon him on every side. That's what that word means. And you know, he was on a mission, and he's walking with Jairus. Make sure that whatever mission you're on, that Jesus is walking with you. Now here's the second thing. He had direction. Number two, she had desperation. She had desperation. Now, pick this up with verse 25. And it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had, and I don't mean this to be crude by any stretch of imagination. She'd had a menstrual period for 12 years. Ladies, wouldn't you say this was a desperate woman? Sure. She had desperation. And so this is where we begin this story within a story. Now get the picture. Jesus is in a crowd. And not only a crowd, it's a crowd that's thronging him. And you can see Jairus at the front of the crowd saying, "Oh, back away, you're slowing us down, back away, we're going to my house, my daughter is close to death, back away, let the master through, bring him on." And now, here at the edge of the crowd, comes a woman that is desperate. She wants to get near Jesus. She'd been to many doctors, it says. She had spent all of her money on cures that didn't work. She wasn't any better. And it says there in verse 26 that she was actually getting worse. She was at the end of a rope. She was at the end of herself. The world had not met her needs. I think I'd like to say that again. The world had not met her needs. Did you hear that? Because I'm telling you, there's somebody here today, and you've been going to the world to get your needs met. I'm telling you, you can bankrupt yourself, my friend, and the world won't meet your needs. There's probably somebody here today that you're at the end of yourself. You're at the end of your rope. You got to have help. And I'm just here to tell you, the world will not and the world cannot meet your needs. Now, here was a woman that was desperate. So I guess my question to you is this. Are you desperate today? Are you desperate? Are you at the end of yourself? Are you at the end of your rope? Have you acknowledged, wow, this thing's bigger than I am? The circumstance, the situation, the mess of my life, the problems of my life. I'm desperate. Now, here's something I've discovered over the years and many years of ministry, and that's this. I've met a whole lot of desperate people, but the problem is they're not desperate enough. So where are you today? Are you desperate? Now, really, the question is, are you desperate enough? Because this lady was desperate enough. She heard that Jesus was in town. And that is where she was heading. Number three, she had determination. She had determination. Now, we pick that up with verse 27. And verse 27 and 28 is where we see this. It says, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment, because she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Now, you need to understand that this was a bold step for her to push through the crowd that day. And the reason is because she was at that point breaking the law. She was an outlaw. It was forbidden for her to even be out in public because of the circumstance of her hemorrhaging. And you find that in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. And she was forbidden to be out in public. She was considered unclean. And so the fact that she was brave enough to leave her house, to go out in public, and then to get in a crowd in order to get near Jesus. She was determined. She was determined. She had nothing to lose and everything to gain. She had heard of the Messiah and his ability to heal. She anxiously sought him out, it says there in verse 27, and she would not be deterred. She was on a mission to meet the master, she was determined to get to Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you, are you desperate? Are you desperate enough? And are you determined? Are you determined today? I'm not going to leave this building today until I meet up with Jesus. I'm not going to leave this place of worship today until I lay hold on Jesus. That's what she's saying. She was determined. Let me show you number four. Pretty exciting here. Number one, he had direction. Number two, she had desperation. Number three, she had determination. Number four, she got delivered. She got delivered. Now, let me show you this in a pretty neat way here. It says there in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him, and she touched his garment because she said, if I can just touch his clothes. Now, the synoptic account over in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 20, says that it uses the terminology, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now, I wish we had time to develop this because there's just some phenomenally exciting biblical stories about this. But this is what Jesus would have been wearing. Interestingly, they wear these same things today. We refer to them as a prayer shawl. The technical name is a tallit. Tallit. Say that with me. Tallit. And they still wear them today. Jewish people in Israel and beyond still wear these prayer shawls today, and there's a lot said in Scripture about these prayer shawls or tallit, and also in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, it tells them and gives them instructions about putting these fringes on the prayer shawls. These fringes are called tzitzit. Say that with me. Tzitzit. All right? Tallit. Tzitzit. All right? Do it again. Tallit. Tzitzit. All right. Now, these are put together in a unique way, the way that they, a kosher prayer shawl is put together in a unique way to where the numerical numbers of the knots in these tzitzit are 613, representing the number of commandments that the Jews were to follow. The prayer shawl itself has to do with the commandments of God. The prayer shawl itself has to do with one's contrition, to where you acknowledge your dependence upon God. You remember when Jesus said, you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have entered into your closet, there pray in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Remember that? This is what it's referring to. This was their prayer closet when they acknowledged by putting their prayer shawl over them, it acknowledged contrition. So, commandments of God, contrition of an individual, but more than that, one's character. Wearing a prayer shawl had to do with one's character. Important that you understand that. There are other stories in Scripture. You remember Ruth and Boaz? Remember that? By the way, this doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but do you realize that before Boaz met her, He was ruthless. Come on. Stay with me. It's early morning, isn't it? I can tell. Remember David, when he cut off Saul's skirt, it says. It was this part of his prayer shawl there at En Gedi. You remember that story in the cave? And he cut that off. And you say, well, he could have killed him. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, he so damaged his character by doing that. That's why he later gave it back. There's just so much about this. But now I get the picture. Jesus is following who? Jairus. He's crowd. I mean, there's a throng around him. There's a throng around him. And this lady, who's had an issue of blood for 12 years, she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Why? Why just that? Because it represents the very character of who's wearing this. That was fine. That was enough for her. That's all she had to do. Now get the picture, my friend. Jesus is being pushed along slowly in this crowd. And Jairus can hardly stand it. Back off, back away, let him go. I've got to get them to my house. My daughter is dying. And at the edge of the crowd, this lady that now is an outlaw comes and she says, the healer is in town. I've got to get to him, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And so she starts to move in. And she's elbowed out. And she tries this angle. And she gets in a little ways. And she gets a little closer and she can see him. And she's not going to give up. She's got determination. And she's desperate. I've got to touch the zit zit on his tallit. And just that. And she gets a little closer. And a little closer. And she's jostled around. And she's pushed. And no one in the crowd knows who she is. And what she's done. And what she's got. And the fact that according to Jewish law she's unclean. They're just moving with Jesus. And she gets a little closer and a little closer. And she pushes her way in. And she gets a little closer. And then with a final lunge of faith, she reaches out. And she touches it. She touches it. And look what it says. Look what it says. It says, immediately, the issue of her blood is dried up. Lady, she would have known that. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment? She was bankrupt. It had been 12 years. And she spent all that she had and she was no better, but she was worse, except in that moment of faith. That which represents all the commandments of God, that which represents a person's contrition, and more importantly, that which represents a person's character, and she lays hold of it. And immediately it says, the issue of her blood was dried up. And it says that she felt in her body, this is verse 29, that she was healed of that plague. And it says in verse 30, It says in verse 30 that Jesus immediately knowing in himself. And so in that moment, that is what had taken place. And let me show you number five. Is that what we're ready for? Number five. He got distracted. He got distracted. And it's at this moment, see, that his mission gets interrupted. It says in verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, and that word virtue is the word, you see it frequently in Scripture, it's the word dunamis, it's the word for which we get our word for dynamite. And so Jesus knew that somebody had touched him on purpose. I like to say that again. Jesus knew that somebody. You know what? That might be you today. Maybe. You might need to be the one that's going to touch Jesus today on purpose. On purpose. Because you know what you're dealing with. You know what's going on in your life. You might need to be the one today to reach out to touch Jesus on purpose. And when that happened, it says that he knew immediately that virtue had gone out from him. That dynamic power. It wasn't just someone in the crowd. As a matter of fact, it says that in verse, he says, who touched my clothes? And then I think it's in Luke that actually says Peter's the one that responds, but says his disciples said to him, and when Peter, I tell you what, I love Peter. Good land, I love that guy. I think to myself, if there's hope for Peter, there's hope for me. Peter had his foot in his mouth most of the time, and I can identify with that one. Now, it doesn't say this is more Scribner than Scripture at this point. But I can imagine when Jesus says, who touched my clothes? I can imagine Peter saying, do you hear that?
Jesus said, who touched my clothes? Duh. Don't you see that you got people thronging you? And you say, who touched me?
Now, because you see, Jesus knew that somebody had done that on purpose. And I love verse 32. And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. He's on a mission. He's on a mission. He's on his way to Jairus' house. And his mission gets interrupted. But I love the fact that he stopped. He said, I want to know who did that. I want to know who reached out a hand of faith today. I want to know who it is that was motivated by faith. And he didn't stop until he zeroed in. I want to find that person. And let me tell you something. I'm convinced. That Jesus may be looking for you today. Everybody follow me? Jesus might be looking for you today. Here's the last thing, number six. He had direction, she had desperation, she had determination, she got delivered, he got distracted. And number six, she became a disciple. She became a disciple. Verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now look at verse 34. He said to her, daughter, and to be honest with you, I personally believe that she had already established her faith in Christ. The word daughter, the word daughter is a relational descendant. It speaks of a relationship. And you know what? We have no other indication of her life after this event. But you know what we do know? We do know that at that moment, her life was altered forever. Do you hear that? Do you need that? You may need that for your church. You may need that for your life. You may need that for someone that you just desperately love. I need my life, or I need that life, or I need this church to be altered forever. Hers was. And then look what happened. He calls her daughter, and then it says in verse 34, he says, your faith has made you whole. And then he sent her home in peace and whole of her plague. You need that today? Is that the way you need to depart here today? Maybe what you really need is to reach out and touch this man that's on a mission. And you might be the one that needs to interrupt his mission today as you reach out in faith to lay hold of him. Let me pray with you. Father, there's somebody here today that is in the same situation as this woman. In desperation, at the end of the rope. Nothing short of getting in touch with Jesus today will do it. So, Father, I pray that he or she would get in the crowd and then get alone with Jesus. And not to quit until he or she lays hold on the very character of God today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.